Hello, everyone. Buenos dias, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich, and we're here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we're going to be talking about the scripture readings today that are in the Catholic churches all over the world. This is the third Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we're going to read the scripture readings, and we're going to have a big topic today and for this time of the year, especially this month, is talking about life, you know, talking about the unborn, talking about babies and families. You know, we were all once babies once, and our mothers brought us into the world, and, you know, some of us may have had tough childhoods and different relationships with our mothers and fathers, but really we're going to really enter into prayer and what my responsibility is today. And do I have a mind of conversion? See, a mind of conversion. Am I willing to change? Am I willing to look at other things? Am I willing to look at God? Am I willing to look at how God looks at life, looks at human life, looks at my life, and looks at me? How does God look at me? Because God loves you, and God loves me. And Jesus wants to have a relationship with us, an intimate relationship with us, where we are his best friend. We are the one that we can always go to. We can always confide in. So as we read the readings today, and we're going to also, of course, talk about a little bit about Pope Francis. Pope Francis, I'm going to read a few excerpts out of one of his books on the family, too, and the things that he's taught us and continues to teach us about the family. So let us start our readings. But before we start our readings, let me just touch base with, if you're ever interested in becoming Catholic, you know, there's lots of Catholic churches around in the area, and you can go to any of those Catholic churches and talk to the pastor, talk to the priest, talk to the deacon, talk to the church secretary there, and they can let you know information about becoming Catholic, becoming a Catholic Christian, the fullness of the faith of Christianity that has been in existence now for 2,000 years. The church has been in existence for 2,000 years now. And even further back, you know, when we think of our brothers and sisters, our Jewish brothers and sisters, the fullness of that tradition, the fullness of that beautiful relationship with God the Creator. So we have the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org. You can also go to holyfamilyradio.net. There's information there on Catholic radio, also information on the church. There's EWTN that's on TV. Of course, my favorite is Mother Angelica. God bless her soul. Hopefully soon to be canonized a saint one day, I certainly hope. Have great love and devotion for her. She's just a marvelous person, a woman in the church in our day and time who has created the greatest television network, the greatest media network of all time, right? A woman. Thanks be to God for that, right? And through the prayers of the Blessed Mother Mary, just beautiful, and the grace of Jesus Christ, most of all. Absolutely. So you can listen to 91.5 in Kalamazoo, FM, 89.7 in the Battle Creek area. And those stations go for about a 50-mile radius. There's a huge amount of coverage. So, and then, of course, AM 1140 in Grand Rapids. So I think that takes care of all the little technical details. And then we'll enter into the Word. And you're all welcome to come to a Catholic Mass, come to a Catholic service, worship service. And understand that we only really provide you with about half of what a service actually is. The liturgy of the Word, broken into two pieces. The liturgy of the Word, where we read the Word of God, and then the priest or the deacon will preach for maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes at the most on the Word. And then the liturgy of the Eucharist. That's the second, probably about the second half hour. So we have to look at that too. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit too. But let us enter into speaking of the Word of God. So our first reading here in the third Sunday in Ordinary Time, January 22nd, is Isaiah 8:23 9 through 3. Okay, so first the Lord degraded the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the end, he has glorified the seaward road, the land west of the Jordan, the district of the Gentiles. Anguish has taken wing. Dispel is darkness. For there is no gloom, but now there was distress. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwell in the land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing as they rejoice before you as at the harvest, as people make merry when dividing spoils. For the yoke that burdened them, the pole on their shoulder, and the rod of their taskmasters, you have smashed, as on the day of Midian. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So just beautiful reading there from Isaiah. Our second reading today is from 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13 and 17. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. For it has been reported to me about you, my brothers and sisters, by Chloe, people, that there are rivalries among you. I mean that each of you saying, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with the wisdom of human eloquence, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its meaning. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Wow, powerful, powerful reading there. That's 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13 and 17. We'll come back to that and talk a little bit about that today too. So our gospel reading today is the Gospel of Matthew 4, 12 through 23. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. And what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in the land overshadowed by death, light had arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along with them there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of this gospel wipe away our sins. So, my brothers and sisters, just some beautiful readings today, very powerful, very challenging for all of us. You know, Isaiah saying that he's seen a great light, we've been in darkness, right? So then we have to ask ourselves, am I in darkness? Could I be in darkness? When's the last time I prayed? When's the last time I went to church? When's the last time I talked to God? What is my relationship like? Last week we talked a little bit about being physically fit and also about being spiritually fit. And this kind of, the church has these readings and the time of year kind of fit very beautifully in with our lives and how the calendar changes and how now we're heading towards Easter. But we have this time in between, before Easter starts, to really contemplate our lives. And sometimes we sit in this month of January and it can be a little depressing. It's been warm lately, and you know, and then someone will say, well, yeah, but we haven't seen the sun. Well, the sun is out, but it's just not bright, is it? It's not real bright. And we kind of miss that. We miss the brightness of the sun. And sometimes this cloudiness, this gloominess, the fogginess is how we can walk through our lives. See, we don't allow that sunshine of God into our lives. We think, I am not going to let God rule over me. Well, I tell you, my brothers and sisters, God has no intention to rule over you. He wants to love you. He wants to help you, and he wants to help me. See, the sunshine is available for all of us. The scripture says he makes the sun shine on all of us, those who love him and those who even hate God. God lets the sun shine on all of us because at any moment we can convert, we can change, we decide to start anew, we decide, I don't want to walk in the fog anymore. But if that's all we know, if that's all we know, walking in the fog, walking in kind of this dim light, that's all we know, right? So today, my brothers and sisters, I ask you to open your hearts to a different idea, that life is precious. And actually, it's not a different idea. It's a real idea. It's a reality. We all know this very well, especially when our mothers or our fathers pass away and they die. That great hurt, the powerful pain of that, the powerful pain of losing any loved one, where their breath goes out of them. Last week we talked about the Holy Spirit, that breath, that spirit, that pneuma, that breath that goes out of us, the soul that goes out of us and goes on to one of two places, heaven or hell. And we decide, we choose, God gives us a choice. Now, many of us today, we would think about, Catholics are very pro-life. Well, I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, it's very sad because not everyone is, okay? Whether, you know, there are some, I'm sure, some Baptists and Lutherans and Muslims who are more pro-life than Catholics, who defend life more so than even some Catholics may. Okay? So it's not about that. It's about a personal decision that you make with your walk with Jesus Christ. What you do, what you decide, what you choose, what you reinforce. The fact of the matter is, just to touch on this a little bit too, is that for most of us, and even in our second reading today, you know, Paul talks about there not being divisions. Well, there are divisions. Some very contested, not very nice. you know, Catholics and Protestants being very, or people who go to Bible churches, or people who go to other churches, or the Muslims and the Jews, or the Muslims and the Catholics, or the Muslims and the Hindus, or the Christians and the Hindus, fighting with each other, treating each other horribly, even to the point of killing one another. And so I ask you, my brothers and sisters, do we really, really think about some of these things and pray about these things on a daily basis? Because if you're not, and I ask myself this too, if I'm not, I should be. Because it is a great sin that we commit against ourselves, mainly against God, then against ourselves. Then we commit the sin against our families. Then we commit the sin against our extended family. See, damage, 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 damage. Then the sin continues to go out into our communities. It's like a cancer. It's a horrible thing. And then when we cannot protect the most vulnerable among us in our society, the very young and the very old, then no one is safe. If we do not protect, do you hear that? If we do not protect the very young, the weakest among us, the baby who is in the womb, or the old person in the nursing home, if we do not protect those two people, we do not become human anymore. We become even less than animals. Even animals don't do these things. Extinguish people out. Say that we're doing them a favor. Saying that it's an inconvenience. It's very sad, my brothers and sisters. We are in a terrible state when we think about this. But all hope is not lost. And I think the greatest thing that we can take away from this and think about this, these divisions and these factions that we have, even that we have religiously, you know, that somehow the answer to my religious question is to start a new church. That's not the answer. The answer is not to start a new church because you think something differently, or five of your friends think something differently, or 100 of your friends think something differently, so you start a new church. See, that's not the answer. The answer is the truth. The truth is the answer. And as Scripture says, the truth will set us free. Truly free. And the truth is, for you and for I, that human life matters in all stages of life. From conception to a natural death. It all matters. And it's all important. Absolutely every portion of our lives is important and is precious. No matter what the government says. The government says it's legal. The government says it's okay. Well, the government is wrong. The government is very wrong on one of the most precious issues of our day. And I offer to you, my brothers and sisters, if they're wrong about that, if I'm wrong about that, what else am I wrong about? What else does my heart need to be converted about? What church that I sit in that talks hatefully against one religion or another person or this person or that person, right? What church I choose to go into, what church, what pastor I continue to listen to, who do I follow? Do I follow Jesus Christ, as 1 Corinthians says? Or do I follow Cephas, another man? Or do I follow Paul, who is another man? Or do I follow Jesus Christ? See? So we have to ask ourselves that. We need to be honest with ourselves about that. And then, of course, this beautiful gospel reading today. And out of the catechism comes this, you know, the church saying to us, do I say I'm sorry? Do I apologize for the things I do wrong? See, last week we talked about sin. This week we talk about healing. And the people who have suffered abortion, and yes, I use that word suffer. Time for healing is now. The time for forgiveness is now. The time for love is now. God loves you and forgives you. Your child waits for you in heaven to love you and to embrace you. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, and read from Pope Francis here in just a few moments, that if you're expecting a child, continue to have that. Have your baby. Have your child. The church will help you. There are organizations that will help you. Even if your own family will not, we will help you. Believe me, we will help you. But this responsibility, to take responsibility, to say that we're sorry when we have made a wrong against God and made a wrong against ourselves, made a wrong against our community. So the Catechism says this, that the kingdom of God is at hand today. Today. God is available for us today. Jesus is available for us today. And that this first work of grace, the grace of the Holy Spirit, is conversion. Change. See? Change my thinking. Well, I think this way because my political party thinks this way. Maybe your political party's wrong. And that's part of a government thing. And I would suggest it is wrong. Yes, both sides, many times. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Many times. Especially about life. Especially about life. Especially about love. So as the church continues to say this, affecting justification is conversion. Affecting justification in accordance with Jesus' proclamation at the beginning of the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We need to learn to say we're sorry. We need to learn to be absolved from our sins, to be forgiven, to do this, have this point of conversion. To really be open to that. Or am I just going to think the same way I've thought my whole life? You know, our thinking changes. Be open to that change. Be open to the Holy Spirit changing your mind, changing your heart, renewing your love for yourself, first of all. Renewing that love, that conversion of renewing the love for yourself. Do you love yourself? Or do you just walk in the cloudiness, in the fog, your whole life, never seeing clearly, never seeing that light, that great light of Jesus Christ, that fullness of the faith of the Catholic Church, receiving all the sacraments, receiving Holy Communion? You know, this is just the Word of God that we're talking about here. This is just part of the meal, see? This is just part of the meal, receiving the Word, listening to the Word. Especially important to listen to the Word, not just to read it, but to hear it, to surrender, to just listen, to listen to the words of God, to have those sink into you, to convert you, to change you, so that you can become alive, no longer in sickness, but alive, healed. Sure, some sickness always remains. We're human. But to really have all this turmoil, all this chaos inside of us. Because we think, you know, with all the media and all the politics and all that garbage, all causes chaos in our minds and in our hearts. To move away from that and to turn towards God. God doesn't want your money. Doesn't want your money. Only wants you and your love. Like a true loving father. So I'm going to read from Amoris Laetitia, Pope Francis, on Love of the Family. And this is from page 110. With great affection, I urge all future mothers, keep happy and let nothing rob you of the interior joy of motherhood. Your child deserves your happiness. Don't let fears, worries, other people's comments, or problems lessen your joy at being God's means of bringing a new life into the world. Prepare yourself for the birth of your child, but without obsessing. And join in Mary's song of joy. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit exalts in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. That's from Luke 1:46. Try to experience the serene excitement amid all your many concerns, and ask the Lord to preserve your joy so that you can pass it on to your child. Such beautiful words from Pope Francis. And let us always consider that too, and how we talk to our children, how we treat our children. You know, are we constantly yelling at them? God forbid if we're swearing at them or hitting them for no reason. You know, even hitting them at all sometimes, I think. You know, many times, you know, just sitting down and talking to them. And understand this also too, you know, that many children do not even understand reason until they're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. They don't understand reasoning. You know, and of course, we have a hard time with reasoning too. Look at what we think is okay today. Look at what we reason today as adults. We think it's okay. We think it's okay to take a life because it's legal. It's not okay. It's the worst thing ever. And so we ask for healing this day. And I tell you, anyone who has received or has been through that great pain of abortion, that there is help and there is healing. There's a great organization by the name of rachelsvineyard.org, and also another group, silentnomore.com, which are really great organizations to talk to, and of course anyone in the church as well, the Catholic Church as well. And in case you're just joining us, this is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and I'm at St. John Bosco Parish and St. Margaret Mary Parish. But we have very little time left to talk, and I just want you to be prayerful about this, about conversion, and really think about that as you go through the next week, to think about, am I open to conversion? Am I open to thinking differently about life, thinking differently about God, thinking differently about my family, and just to be open to that, to be open to the Holy Spirit, to listen to this new breath, to listen to this new spirit, to listen to this new soul that is longing to help me and love me. May Almighty God bless all of you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May God bless you all.